Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 16th of September, recording at 9:28 p.m., and that's British Summer Time still. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook at the various asset classes, but first, let's have a quick review of the week. In terms of stock markets, well, time for a change. We had 5 days of rallies for the European stock markets and also Wall Street. Asian stock markets were a little more mixed, but definitely firm overall. The majority of them were firm overall, I should say. So not to contradict myself. We had gains of 1.5 to 2% for some of Japan, Hong Kong, Australia here today. In Europe, the gains were a little more modest. And Europe closed when Wall Street was giving up some of its earlier gains, but Wall Street closed near the highs of the day. Again, the gains were modest, but we've had, again, this is, the fifth consecutive day of a rally, so gains of just over 0.5% for the major indices, up 1.5% for Brazil. Long-dated government bond prices shrugged off some earlier weakness and closed with moderate gains today. They have generally, though, come down this week. And precious metals. Precious metals were in retreat most of the week, but saw a decent rally here today. Gold closing out at it's still trading, $1,810.50. Platinum's back above 1,800 to 1,808. Palladium a bit steady, 733, and silver, good gains here, up to 4073. That's up 123 here at present. Crude oil has been quiet, 112 and change for Brent, and the WTI that had looked rallied up close to the $90 level for part of the week, midweek, but down $1.50 here today at $87.89. And grains and beans, a bit of profit taking showing there. The industrial metals a little steadier, although mixed overall is the way I would describe it. And that's pretty much it, except I haven't mentioned the U.S. dollar, which had seen a good rally in recent weeks, gave up some of that here today. Gave up some of that this week, but the dollar is steadier today against the euro. Euro is currently at 137.87. And what else to mention? Aussie dollar a little higher against the US, 1.0362. Okay, so what's going on here overall, and what's the outlook? Well, in terms of stock market action and the debate in our minds at Fuller Money is this the short, sharp bear market that we had been talking about, or is it going to be something more? And it will not have escaped your attention that a great many commentators have been issuing some really rather draconian forecasts and warnings. Most, but not all of these, have focused on Europe. With a general conclusion that Europe was on the brink of something that could make the Lehman incident look like a tea party. That is not our view. I mean, it could conceivably happen, but that would be not just an own goal, that would be a sequence of penalty kicks on an empty goal. And I don't think that that's stupid. But more on that in a in a moment. People have also been there's a large bearish contingent which is absolutely convinced that the U.S. economy is in recession. Now, it's not yet confirmed by the data, and including today, where the Michigan, I think it was consumer confidence indicator came in a fraction higher than expected. I think it was 57.2. But it's obviously a very close call here, and I've been saying for some time that the U.S. was uncomfortably close to recession. Much of Europe is in recession. I'm told by my friends in Hong Kong that Hong Kong is in recession here right now. I'm also told that China's monetary tightening is virtually over. That makes sense to me. And it's virtually over because there's been a big markdown in, well, no, let me get that right. There has been a bit of a markdown in property prices in a number of the Chinese cities. There's been a bigger markdown in Hong Kong. But Hong Kong is going to be a very minor influence in terms of mainland China's monetary policy decisions. But they have seen a slowdown. Their inflation had also eased a little bit this week. And they will not be complacent about these problems because property prices are still fairly high, and as are commodity prices generally. But chances are good that they're close to the end of that monetary tightening. I think the valuations are very attractive in China, but I've erred on the side of optimism here regarding China over the last year. And the charts do not yet show the beginning of a sustained demand-dominated environment. And therefore, I'll be a little edgy until I see clear evidence of that, but I expect to see it probably before year end. India, chances are good that they're near the end of their monetary tightening. When I say near the end, they may just leave it on hold. They may get one more little move here overall. They certainly haven't announced that they're going to start to reverse it, but growth has slowed. Inflation has ebbed a little bit. And what I think is quite important, they're making some inroads in terms of tackling corruption. And that's absolutely essential. Governance is everything. If corruption scandals are hitting the headlines on a regular basis, then people are going to vote with their feet, which is understandable enough. So some of the reversals there and some of the efforts to weed out corruption are very, very welcome indeed. The ASEAN stock markets remain relative outperformers. Other relative outperformers, well, Owen's covered a lot of them. Higher dividend yielding shares that are multinational companies remain good overall performers, led by the likes of McDonald's and Apple. And among the outperformers, big successful multinational companies, but there are also a lot of high-yielding companies that are showing quite a good performance. The worst stock market performances among major markets have been in Europe, and particularly in the financial sector, which has been a disaster. But it looks overextended, and it has steadied in here, and so we have seen it participate in this as yet modest rally in Europe that we have seen this week. But every journey starts with a step, and those bank indices had fallen back to levels of previous support. Now, there's more evidence of cooperation and some for the formulation of a program here to deal with Germany's, I should say, Euroland's problems in general. and clarifying Germany's role in terms of participation. I posted an article today with which I disagree, and that is a column by Anatole Kaletsky for The Times, which appeared in yesterday's Times. But I sent it over to my old friend Erwin Graninger in Germany, the economist, to see what he thought about it. But Kaletsky had said that don't bet against Germany dropping out of the euro. That sounded fanciful to me, and Graninger spiked it. Really, the gist of it's sensationalism. It's just not going to happen. And my feeling all along is that the euro would survive as long as Germany wanted to remain part of it. And I think it's very clear that it does. There's still a lot to do. I don't underestimate for a moment the severity of this sovereign debt crisis. But you know, this too will pass. This is not a situation for which there is no solution. The solution's painful, takes time, you know all that. But I think they are gradually coming to grips with it. And a lot of people around the globe have been talking, and excuse me, I get telephone calls sometimes and early in the morning, regrettably, from India saying, you know, is the euro going to break up? And these are not from subscribers. They're much too nice and sensible to do that. But television channels saying, is the euro going to break up and drag the world into a depression? This kind of thing. So there has been a lot of fear, to put it mildly, out there. And I think that that's the sort of evidence that we see, that's the sort of emotional environment that we see near important market lows. Then, last but not least, on stock markets, there was that investors' intelligence advisors' sentiment report, which moved down into bullish territory. I posted that yesterday. Okay, so I still think that this is an environment where investors can nibble. This coming week, next week rather, will be interesting because we'll be able to see if this rally can that we saw this week, we'll see if first if the gains can be held, let alone extended. And then we've got the Fed meeting, I think, on the 20th and 21st. See what they come up with. But I wouldn't be too bearish in this environment, is my comment. NASDAQ, one of the key indices, it's got to perform if we're going to see some genuine bottoming activity. It's impressive. It is exactly on the halfway point in terms of its top area. It has rallied back up into the top formation and is right up in the closed today, right up in the middle of it on that NASDAQ 100 index. Okay, what about the long-dated government bonds? Well, they have been so powerful in terms of bond prices. So yields falling down in some instances to record lows in the last few months. Now, if we are near a meaningful sustainable low for stock markets, such as we saw around this time last year, if that is the case, then I would expect, as we saw then, I would expect bond yields to move higher and government bond prices, therefore, to come down in a fairly substantial move, potentially retracing the entire move that we've seen in recent months. Now, that isn't going to take place overnight, but could it take place between now and the end of the year? Well, it definitely will, in my view, if we have seen a major bottom here in stock markets. You know, markets have been so volatile, if they all go pear-shaped, next week or the week after, then we reassess again. But I would say that the evidence is encouraging, and let's leave it at that for the time being. In terms of gold, and silver, the rally that we saw today is encouraging. Now, if you just have a mental picture of that chart, gold rallied up well ahead of well, a month ahead of its usual seasonal strength, and it had a very strong August, got overextended, key day reversal, and pulled back. When I said got overextended, you can see that so clearly on the weekly chart, as we posted on a number of occasions. And then late August, earlier this month actually, it rallied back up and tested that high. Gold bullion moved on an intraday basis just slightly to a new high and then fell back, almost forming another key. Now, on this second retreat, which you've seen this month, it's come down more slowly and it hasn't threatened the low that it had seen in the August reaction. And so a bit of strength in here too. So in other words, it's been backing and filling. Looks much more like a consolidation than something frightening. I think the technical action is healthy overall. I would like to see, and I wouldn't be surprised to see, gold range for a while longer. Probably mostly above that $1,800 level. That would be healthy technical action. It would be a partial mean reversion towards the rising 200-day moving average. I see no evidence that the overall bull market is over, but it had rallied up to a level that is capable of causing problems or causing a correction. I mean to say. Crude oil prices are still higher than we would like to see, but it is a secular bull market for resources. We had enough of a oil shock earlier in the year to weaken global GDP growth. And again, say prices are high, but as they stabilize here, then it will be less of a problem, let's put it that way. And I'm hopeful that they will stabilize here. But you know my long-term view, and very much Fuller Money's long-term view, meaning shared by Owen completely, is that this is the tough decade here when we see the valuation contraction cycle. I illustrated that earlier in the week. And when energy prices are going to remain tight, our energy supplies are going to remain tight, energy prices firm. But I do feel that 12 to 15 years from now, possibly sooner, the energy situation will be much more favorable. That will be with the help of the development of shale gas and shale oil, not just in the United States, but around the globe. And then we will have seen a further development of renewables, hopefully a further development of nuclear. Well, that will certainly be the case for China and India. And therefore, we still feel that sometime around the middle of the next decade, if not sooner, that we will see energy prices lower than they are today in real terms. And that would be very bullish, most other considerations being equal. It would be extremely bullish. In other words, when I say most other considerations being equal, as long as we don't have some ecological disaster of mega proportions. And I'm certainly not in the business of forecasting horrendous exogenous shocks, but they occasionally occur. But what I'm trying to say is that last decade was a tough one. This decade is a tough one. The next one will be really quite bullish. for stock markets. And I think then we will see not only the end of the valuation contraction cycle of which is about 12 years and counting so far. The earlier one was 16 years, and that was in the 60s to into 82, late 60s to 82. And I think we might even see in the next decade, we'll see some genuine evidence of the global supercycle that Standard Chartered has been talking about. And we've produced their report on the website. You can still see it. New subscribers who are interested in that. What else to mention? Gold, I have reviewed that on sort of a short to medium term basis. I think on a longer term basis, the story is the same. Lots of money printing taking place. There will be some inflation coming through the pipeline. What I think will eventually end gold's secular bull market, probably several years from now, will be a sharp increase in short-term interest rates, not just in China and India, but around the globe, including in the West. I think we're a long way away from that. And before that happens, I would not be surprised to see the gold price accelerate in a mania phase. I would forget about some of those telephone number wishful thinking forecasts that people are making in terms of gold. You can pick out almost any number and it'll probably reach it at some point in the future. But, you know, let's take it a day and a week and a month and a year at a time here. It still looks healthy beyond this bit of a mean reversion consolidation right now. And I think silver and platinum will certainly perform in the next up leg, which I would expect to be underway probably before year end. But as I say, a bit more of a pause here first would be helpful. In terms of currencies, all that talk of the collapse of the euro, well, look at it on a weekly chart or a 10-year chart of against the US dollar, and we're sort of in the middle of a range, a trading range overall. I think the euro will still be around, as I've already said. I'm pretty confident of that. And so will the dollar, of course. And we're not getting a dollar collapse. It's steadied quite a bit in recent weeks, may give up some of those gains. But overall, I'm not too concerned about that. Again, if we are support building here near in the region of a major bottom for stock markets, and remember, I've qualified that on the basis that we would see, to see the region of the August lows, to see that hold for major markets, not least the USA. That's if we're getting support building, then and prior to a firmer tone in stock markets, then I would also expect to see the growth economy currencies strengthen once again. Meanwhile, they've taken a well-earned breather in here. Interesting times. And that's not just as in the curse. It's valuations in a number of markets. I quite like them. And I think there will be lots of opportunities here in stock markets, in dividend aristocrats, in the growth economies, I think in commodities. And it'll be a little less stressful than it has been of late. So, I'm planning on having a nice relaxing weekend, and I wish you the same. All the best.